We talk about food, we talk about music, with musical dudes, finger on the pulse, snacky tunes.
Listening to Snacky Tunes, I am one half of your host, DJ Never Forget. That is Terry Diabolic sitting down, putting on the cans, which I actually tried to find the origin, like the origin of cans.
Because we say it every week.
And I could not find it, but I guess looking up cans and headphones in Wikipedia for 2 seconds doesn't really qualify research.
Quick question.
Yes.
Do you like bass?
I do like bass. I also like that remix, which is by Treasure Fingers, who is in studio today.
Hello.
Hello.
By the Classics Original.
Yes, Classics Original. Actually, I'm just going to say this. First New York gig for you and for Classics was we brought them up here. And
you're on the Pulse.
Like 2 years ago. Yeah. Remember?
Yep.
When Bushwick's Bushmills.
Sweaty Hugs.
At Hugs. And, when Bushmills was sponsoring our life. Which is what you always need. A whiskey sponsor in your life.
But great show today. We are also joined by the one, the only Frankie Cocktails. What's up, my man?
What's up, guys? How you doing?
Good. How you doing? Looking dapper
as
always.
Do you like that name? I mean, I know our friends call you that, but I actually have never heard you.
Everyone at Primeats calls you that too.
Nicknames. I mean,
There's a story behind it.
Oh, it's a story.
What happens is obviously I work at Primeats, which is part of the Frankie's empire, and there's obviously at least two Franks: Frank Falsinetti, Frank Castanovo. So you've got two there. Then we had another guy named Frank working in the kitchen. We got another guy named Francisco working there, so they realized that we couldn't have, you know, five Franks working in the same empire, and they couldn't call me Frank C, because we already have at least two. So they're like, well, what do? You make cocktails here, right? You're Frankie Cocktails, that's it.
Give them. You think they would have just called you Cocktails? Well, you're still putting that Frank...
You can't call a guy Cocktails.
My logic for a second was why would you put Frank in there? Just call him Cocktails.
I guess the only problem that I would have with that is that that's a heavy mantle to wear. It's just like, yo, I'm Terry Steak. I represent all steaks, you know. We got Never Forget DJ. It's just like, it's a
blog.
Lot.
Like food blog.
Yeah. So anyway, short history of Frank. We know you from, or Greg knows you back, or Never Forget knows you from Portland.
Yeah.
And then you came out to New York, and we hung out a bunch doing the whole like DJ bar scene. And then you sort of put that aside, and you got into cocktails and wine.
Yeah.
And you actually are, I always mispronounce, or I can't remember, but you're a sommelier.
Mm-hmm.
But it's bigger than that.
Perfect pronunciation. Yeah.
Thank you.
He's been practicing all weekend.
In the mirror.
Actually, show me yet. For people, before you go into it, tell them what that is, because it's pretty impressive and pretty rare to meet someone like that in the States.
So the history of what a sommelier is goes back to medieval times. Essentially, it would be the person who procured and took care of all the wine, spirits, anything like that, anything beverage related, typically for kings and nobility. So in strict translation, it translates to keeper of fine products. So that's the history of it. It has evolved to the modern day to be someone who's typically in a restaurant managing the wine program and helping people select wines on the floor of the restaurant during a meal. I kind of came into it because I have sort of an obsessive collection-oriented personality.
Yes, you do.
Yes, you do.
Which came from music.
Which came exactly from music. I view DJing, and I think all of us would agree with this, as sort of selecting the right track for the right occasion and making people really happy.
Which right. DJs, you know, they used to be called selectors.
Yeah, you know, and that's exactly what I think of as a sommelier. You collect esoteric knowledge, like you collect esoteric wine knowledge. You pick out the right wines out of the, you know, 3 or 4 million different bottlings available at any given time. Figure out what the right one is that matches the current occasion and get people off on it. You know, make people happy with the right wine.
But right now we're eating. Hold on a second. Right now we're eating pizza.
Yeah.
From Roberta's.
Yeah.
What would you pair with this?
Honestly, like go-to pairing with pizza, I think, is Montepulciano. It's rich and has just a little bit of sweetness to counteract saltiness. But if you want to go, like, if you want to get real with it, like a $9 bottle of red wine, it's going to work great.
And this is the point where I start nodding, because you're throwing out terms and names. I'm like, oh, yeah, going to drink that? Okay.
I've always heard that your best friend in the restaurant is actually, like, after maybe the maitre d's sommelier, because, like, they have so much knowledge and no one ever asks them anything that if you show just a little bit of interest, they will, like, take care of you.
That's
fact or fiction?
Absolute fact. It's kind of the same thing with bartending, which I'm sure we'll get into later with like bartender's choice. But, you know, the typical sommelier, unfortunately, their skills are kind of left at the wine list, and that's as far as they go.
Right.
And that just happens, and that's fine. But if you take the time to actually talk to them and ask them, you know, what's going to work with this meal, they're gonna get crazy on it. One of my favorite experiences was, you know, saving up for months and months and going to Per Se. And the sommelier wound up just like hanging out at the table with us almost the entire time, to the point where the servers didn't even get a chance to explain the dishes. And she'd be like, oh, yeah, oh, whoa, it's been like 20 minutes that we've been talking about this wine from the Jura. Like, let me tell you what's on your plate here.
Wine is still one of those intimidating areas, even for, I mean, I feel like I know a decent amount about food, and it just stops at wine. And what would be your tips to get over being intimidated by wine?
Really, there's a lot of classes out there that you can take that are like one day intensive, like sort of classes that are really simple. Like they're not gonna be like overly intimidating or anything, and they can be a really good resource. The Wine and Spirits Educational Trust is one of them. But one of the things you can do too is just kind of aligning yourself with a restaurant whose wine program you trust, because typically they're gonna have some sort of educational aspect to it as well. But if you just kind of like learn a few of the grape varietals, a few of the regions, you'll know kind of like what works with what. And it doesn't have to get like really intensive. Just know like Pinot Noir pairs well with light meats. If you're eating a steak, you want something that's tannic and heavy, like Cabernet. And then you don't have to get like too crazy with it. And honestly, like price point type of things, that really intimidates people. And that's where sommelier can be your best friend too. Right. You just ask them like, I don't really want to spend more than $45 today on a bottle of wine. They're totally comfortable with that.
I mean, is that myth that you also always hear, it's like a $30 bottle of wine is just as good as a $500 bottle of wine?
It's absolutely true. Okay. Absolutely. Because it's just, you know, you can kind of go back to DJing. Like you can go back to record collecting. Does like the $15 repress sound the same thing as the $300 original? It absolutely does. It's just a matter of,
do you want to go that distance? I really saying I had this. I feel like you get to a point with certain meals, even like some respected bistros or things like that, where it gets into bragging rights. Like, I ate here. And it's like, does that cut of steak really cost 3 or 4 times more than we can get at a bistro? No, it just doesn't. It just doesn't add up.
Right. It doesn't. I mean, there's definitely a discernible difference between like a $9 bottle of wine and like a $110 bottle of wine.
Right.
But once it gets to like the $110 bottle of wine and a $3,000 bottle of wine, the difference is minimal at best.
Okay. I have actually never heard that comparison to records. And I actually think that for me personally, that puts it in good perspective. So we're going to pause this for a second. We're going to play a track off the new Ellie Goulding record, which just came out last week.
Number one in the UK.
Very, very awesome. This is the bonus track called Lights. You're listening to Snacky Tunes. We are your host, Finger on the Pulse. Big shout out to Whole Food Markets today for sponsoring us. We have Treasure Fingers in studio coming up to talk about we're going to talk about the switch from Tractor to Serato. You feel comfortable about that?
Yeah, totally.
And shout out to Roberta's Pizzas, Jack Inslee Rec Tech for making this sound good. And we'll be back with some more knowledge from Frankie Cocktails.
I had a way then, losing it all on my own. I had a heart then, but the queen has been overthrown. And I'm not sleeping now, the dark is too hard to beat. And I'm not keeping now the strength I need to push me. You show the lights that stop me, turn to a stone. You shine it when I'm alone, and so I tell myself that I'll be strong. And dreaming when they're gone, 'cause they're calling, calling, calling me home, calling, calling, calling home. You show the lights that stop me, turn to a stone. You shine it when I'm alone. Voices I play within my head, touch my own skin and hope that I still breathe. And I think back to when my brother and my sister slept in an unloved place, the only time I feel safe. You show the lights that stop me, turn to a stone. You shine when I'm alone, and so I tell myself that I'll be.
All right. That was just Ellie Goulding with Lights off of, I believe that's the name of the record, too.
Yeah, I think so.
Off of, I know her through Neon Gold from Derek, who used to run Good Weather for Airstrikes, who also did the first Passion Pit single, and also turned me on to Theophilus London. Yep. So
big shout out. And also, if you haven't heard the Rest Chimes remix of Star yet, just
go to Disco Disc.
Just go get it. It's really just
phenomenal. Have you heard that?
Yes. It's very good.
It's very good.
Who's calling dibs on that for Saturday night?
I just did. I'm just kidding.
I actually haven't been playing that one.
Okay. Oh, well, all right.
You guys can
wrestle
over it.
So we're in studio with that's Treasure Fingers, and we also got Frankie C, fill in the blank, however you want.
And I'll give you a hint, it's Octales.
Yeah. It ends in Octales.
And we're talking cocktails and the bar scene in New York City, and Saturday night I was lucky enough to sit across the bar from you at Dram on Roebling and South 4th.
That's right.
I don't want to brag, but I was there like 2 weeks ago.
I don't want to brag, but I shot it. It's in the open for Kitchen Conspirators.
All right, fine.
Anyway, let's talk about Dram. Great cocktails, yeah. Great place. Really just like, it's got that speakeasy feel that
right,
I love.
Right, right, right. We're really stoked on the project. We are trying to stay away a little bit from the speakeasy moniker, a little bit, but it does have that feel. But we are not going to be as... I put it lightly, not pretentious at all. We're not going to try to do that. We have beer and shot specials, for instance.
Beautiful. Perfect.
Not going to find that at Death & Company.
No.
I love my brothers over there, man.
No, I love it too, but sometimes, sometimes
you just want a shot and a beer before you get into a zombie.
Right, right, exactly. You know, 3.5 ounces of pure booze is going to do you right, so...
Yeah.
Sip on a beer for a little bit.
So the whole concept of Dram, it's Tom Chadwick is heading up there. He's been all over the press. If you know, he's been in Cucina Italiana. He's been in Imbibe. He's been in Food and Wine. He's got cocktails all over the place. He's a very prolific mixologist, and I had the pleasure of studying under him for a year when I was coming up, so I really respect the guy. And you kind of set up a bar for bartenders and a bar for people to hang out at. It's kind of like a simultaneous like neighborhood bar and cocktail bar. So we have all like the requisite things. We have like the Scotsman Ice. We have like the cold draft, everything that people expect. And like,
did you say Scotsman Ice?
Scotsman Ice is crushed pellet ice.
I don't know what that is. I mean, I probably had it, but
yeah, you've probably had it. But it's really important, especially in tiki cocktails.
Which Jordana Rothman said in our January show was going to be a big trend of 2000.
It's like that. It's like that. It's like that refined crushed ice.
Exactly, it's refined crushed ice, and that's something that I'm getting at too. I think like it is. I agree. It's definitely going to be a big trend. That's part of why we have Scotsman Ice there, and we have the whole tiki glassware sort of thing, and we definitely have like the background in doing it, and we're really excited about doing it, but. I don't know if you guys have heard about Painkiller. Those guys are going to be like the dominant force in the tiki trend.
I think Jordana did mention them or something.
In the city, right?
Yeah,
it's Giuseppe from Clover Club is one of the ones that's going to be heading it, and they're going to kind of do the whole just like rum tiki bar oriented thing, which is something that's never really been done in New York. You've got
it was, but like way before our time.
Yeah, way before our time, and there are two now. There's Otto Shrunken Head and the Zombie Hut, but. They don't really.
Yeah,
they don't, yeah.
We spent a birthday at Otto Shrunken Head, and it was just like, I see why these went out of fashion, especially the morning after. It's like I feel like total junk.
Right. I mean, what we're going to be doing at Dram, and what Painkiller's doing is actually going back to the recipes of like 1936, like the 1936 Zombie, the 1958 Jet Pilot, like the original recipes, the way that it was done, and it was really labor intensive because you have to do things like. You know, create orgeat from scratch, which is a process that can take 3 or 4 hours of blanching almonds and toasting them and re-blanching them just to get like a tiny amount of orgeat syrup out of them. It's really difficult to do, and you can't, if you make a shortcut, you're not going to get a good drink out of it. So, you know, that's one of the big things we're trying to do. So the whole concept of Dram is every week, us four bartenders, it's Nick Jarrett from the Clover Club and the Franklin, which is Death & Company's outpost in Philadelphia, Tanya Guffey, Jason Luttrell from the Randolph and Death & Company, and myself are going to get together and create four new cocktails. The cocktails are going to be representations of classics, more like refreshing juiced cocktails and, you know, different things like that. So there's something for everybody. But at the bottom of our menu, it says, You know, let us know what spirit you like, whether you want something stirred, boozy, and classic, or shaken and refreshing, and we'll create a drink for you. The whole thing is just a dialogue between us and the customer.
Well, I mean, I think I've actually stopped ordering drinks with you. I'm like, you're like, what do you want? I'm like, I'm feeling like whiskey, and I just kind of put it in your hands. Because, you know, in the way that I've studied, you know, the things that I'm interested in, you've studied your stuff. And as much as I'd like ordering sidecars, which I don't, that's the first thing that came to me. I maybe know like 10 drinks. I know.
When's the last time you had a sidecar?
I don't know. You know what though? My friend had a take on a sidecar.
Oh, a friend of my friend drinks sidecars?
Laura Nolte, when she came in, she had a take on a sidecar. But I usually
it's
just
a great drink. It really is.
Hey.
So let's also talk about one of my favorite restaurants, Prime Meats. We've done barbecues with you guys for our barbecue series last summer. I actually spent Valentine's Day there this year. I had a great meal. Unfortunately, you were not there, so my heart was broken a little bit. But you guys are doing some great stuff over there.
Yeah, I mean, that's a place that I'm just infinitely proud of. I work there typically on Thursdays and Saturdays, so you can catch me there. And Damon Bolt is the guy behind the cocktails there.
That's who I met last time.
Yeah, truly one of the best mixologists I've ever worked with. He's just extremely creative and has an incredible depth of liquor knowledge from working at Linnell's for a long time, which was like the preeminent cocktail sort of hangout because they had all kinds of weird products there that you couldn't buy anywhere else in terms of like weird liquors, foreign stuff, stuff that's maybe even partially illegal. Like, it was pretty cool stuff. So what's great about that place, and it actually has a lot of it's a lot of synergistic elements that have to do with Roberta's too, I think, where we're at right now, incidentally. It's kind of I describe it as young punks doing fine dining.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
absolutely.
It's kind of like we're all really super passionate about what we do, but we're also not trying to be stuffy. And the whole, you know, the food program there is incredible. We break down whole animals. We have a procurement specialist. So even like in the summer when we get like you know, let's say David and I really want really good berries, our procurement specialist will source us like wild strawberries. We then take those wild strawberries and put them into drinks. We'll make like wild strawberry syrups. Make wild strawberry marmalades and preserve them for the winter months and all kinds of things like that. You know, we have what I consider kind of a renaissance approach to bartending. I think things are moving away from the whole speakeasy thing, and people are just realizing that the proper way to run a bar is this. You need to juice things fresh. You need to use correct dice. You need to use the correct techniques. You have to use the right equipment, and you have to use the freshest possible ingredients and the best possible liquor, of course. And that's what we do at Prime Meats, and I think it's just kind of the right way of doing things, and I'm blessed to work at a place that agrees with that approach.
All right. So I think as we gotta
I know, but one more thing. So I could say that like over the, like the last few years, the arc has been to be like, if you were doing specialty cocktails, it was totally like this underground thing, and now it's just becoming a norm.
I think so, and I think that's a really good thing. We'll get into this later, I'm sure, but I think the talent pool has grown. So, you know, your base level cocktail is now elevating, and that's a great thing.
Right. All right, Frank. Well, thank you for joining us. Very quickly, favorite drink?
I'll
hold you to it.
I'll say my favorite drink right now is any variation of the zombie.
Okay. I would have to agree with you. We got a short set coming up from Terry Diabolik. Yeah, with just a couple songs. And then we got Treasure Fingers in studio. You're listening to Snacky Tunes. Big shout out to Whole Food Markets today. Terry, take it away.
what's on your mind. You wanna talk about feelings,
but you don't know what you need, baby.
I know making love isn't easy. Face to face, body to body, maybe. You know I'm living for.
You were listening to Snacky Tunes with Finger on the Pulse, Terry Diabolik dropping some disco, or new disco, filter disco?
It's
house disco?
It's a combination. That last track was Good On Down by Voodoo Chili. Big shout out to Phantom Revenge for turning me on to that guy. And then the first song was American French Machine, Frenchie Lover. This old, like, 2002 track that you just fall in love with. It's on this, like, funny, like, I found it, like, on this electro comp from Warner Brothers in France. It's like Bobby Sinclair and like Daft Punk and this like Madonna Deep Dish remix. It's just, I mean,
nice.
2002 was an odd place.
So this is a little bit of a preview for a party that we are going to be playing this Saturday with Treasure Fingers. Welcome to Snacky Tunes.
Yes. Thanks for having me.
Yeah.
Finally.
You travel.
A bit.
You travel a bit.
I think we made these plans back in like...
Yeah, it's 2 months ago.
Yeah, it was like 2 months ago.
It's weird that I'm not home on a Monday. Like,
yeah.
I think I'm home on a Monday afternoon.
I mean, but that's kind of why we picked this show for this day, because we're like, you know, most people will be home Mondays after the, you know, the gigs, but you travel a lot. You were just in Berlin?
All of Europe. But I went to Berlin for a few days.
Yeah. To make the switch from Serato to Traktor.
Yeah. Well, I made the switch before then, but this was to further that relationship with Native Instruments.
Yeah, I mean, I'm kind of curious how things are shaking up. I know Traktor, we had talked before, was like not the, you know, strongest software, but now it seems that they've taken their time and a lot of DJs swear by it over Serato as far as like sound and output and
yeah, and definitely. I think they realized that a lot of the complaints were, you know, they definitely addressed that. They went back, developed what they needed to, and came back out with it. And now they're just facing the stigma that Serato is established as the standard.
It's tough. And I mean, Serato's in a lot of clubs. You walk in, the box is already there. Yeah, the box is already there.
Exactly.
It's, you know, especially when that software is free.
Yeah, that's the other thing. I think unlimited updates and everything, that's where Serato really kills it. Yeah. But as far as effects and sound quality and all that, I think Traktor's got a leg up on it.
Yeah.
The only thing is that they're not the standard, so it's an uphill fight for them right now people over.
And I wonder if Traktor and like CDG, like the new pioneers, are going to be battling each other for like.
No, they. I was just at the office and they had the CDJ 2000, and you can dial in this setting on it, and it controls Traktor without having a CD in it.
Ooh.
It was awesome.
Oh.
Yeah.
So now he's going to buy switch a couple. Now he's going to drop $5,000 on those exactly. Those bad boys. And
yeah, those are crazy.
You're all set.
So you've been on the road,
mm-hmm.
but you've also been in the studio.
Yeah.
What have you been working on?
Lately, I've got two remixes that I'm churning out. One is for Don Diablo, a track called Who's Your Daddy?
Donnie D.
Yep. And then another one is for Shelley, I think it's pronounced. C-H-E-L-L-E-Y or Chile.
I don't know.
Yeah. That one turned out way better than I expected. So I'm going to play that later actually.
Okay.
Give it a little test run. And then of course some original tracks, some new stuff for Fool's Gold. This track called Keep Up. That's totally 80s. Yeah.
That song is awesome.
Yeah.
We heard it on, VDRK posted a snippet.
No. That's Lift Me.
Lift Me.
Yeah.
Oh,
but Lift Me's coming too. We're putting the final mixes on that. And
so are you having an official release coming out for Fool's Gold? Like, is there official date or is it just
It's in May, but it's coming. We don't have an official date. And there's going to be an actual first official mix CD, like a retail mix CD.
Oh, really?
At the same time, yeah. It's kind of like a showcase CD. It's going to have maybe like four new originals on there and then... all my remixes, the bigger remixes, I guess.
When you're releasing a single, I mean, it's so odd in the DJ world because songs get put out long before they're officially released.
Yeah.
How do you release? How do you personally release a song? Do you get it made and then do you give it out to your friends, or do you just try and hold off to the release date as close as possible? Like, what's your game? What's your plan of action?
Lately, I've been trying to hold off just because I notice once too many people have it and it leaks, it just loses all steam, and by the time it comes out, people are over it, and you know, you still reach a crowd with it, but I think the best is timing it, getting the promos out, you know, 3 weeks ahead of time, maybe a full month ahead, getting it to all the DJs or your friends or whoever, and then being ready to promote it and put it out immediately. Because even like Cross the Dance Floor was quite successful, I think, but it was leaked over a year before it actually was released.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, I think back like that Duck Sauce stuff that was out.
Yeah.
And sort of like, it was like October.
Yeah.
The official release. And I was like, really?
Yeah.
But I also, I forget who I was talking to this weekend, but they were saying, you know, some of the stuff that has been the biggest successes on Beatport and selling has been the stuff that they have actually leaked in advance.
Well, funny thing with Cross the Dance Floor is the biggest selling mix of that, the whole pack, is the Chromeo mix.
Mm.
And it was given away for free. You know, by Scion. It was on a free... Scion passed out a CD that was free on, but they still put it on iTunes and Beatport and everything, and it was the highest seller. So...
But I mean, you had to be in the right place to get that CD too.
Yeah, I think so.
I mean, that's one of those things where, like, people are like, I have this. They're like, oh, I want it. I'm going to buy it.
I also think the general public still somewhat buys music. I would like to believe that, at least.
I've gone back to buying music, actually.
Like the iTunes crowd, they still just check iTunes, and it's easier for them to do that than to search through blogs and find a high rate.
Yeah, and Beatport, I mean, I go back there. You know, the only problem with Beatport is that I've bought some tracks on there recently. Sorry, Beatport, but like not mastered or mixed very well. And I was like, this is kind of...
There's a bit of a quality control issue with that, I think.
I was like, you don't buy a shirt online, and there's like, you get it, and a sleeve is missing. So, you know... It's one of those things where it was the first time it happened to me, so I didn't even think about quality control. So I don't even know how you check for something like that, or just a little like roll the dice.
Yeah. I think then you've got to just look for the labels and trust that the labels are putting out the quality stuff. Because I've found a few labels on there that you hear the preview and you know it's a low bit rate MP3 streaming through Flash. then you download it and it sounds exactly like it sounded like, on the preview.
You're like, wait a second.
So, yeah. I think it comes down to the labels.
So why don't we get you on the decks?
All right.
And then we'll bring you back. We'll talk a little bit, preview a little bit about this Saturday, talk a little bit more about food and eating on the road. And we'll get it going.
Yeah. But yeah, I'm excited. Frank?
Yeah, brother.
How you doing over there?
Awesome, man.
Yeah. Are you working anywhere? Are you working tonight? I forgot to ask you.
I'm not. Sorry.
It's a tight squeeze.
No, I'll be back on tomorrow. We're gonna have a little preview, one last preview of Duran before we have the proper opening, which will be next week.
Can our listeners come?
Yes, they can.
All right, I'll probably be there.
177 South 4th.
Yes, it's a good location too. Yeah. South of the Hood.
167 South 4th. Right.
Ooh. Yeah, 177. You don't want to go to 177.
You don't know. It's not good.
Bad things.
And right down the street is Pies and Thighs, which I was at last night.
Oh yeah, that just reopened.
So yeah, that's kind of just like the most serendipitous thing, man. Like, you know, there's Pies and Thighs, and there's a good cocktail bar right on the same block.
Yeah, but you guys, you know, I had that short ribs, red sauce and polenta there. That was fantastic.
Right. That's what I was gonna say. The same mentality that I was talking about, like creating that dialogue between the customer and the bartender. We're gonna do that with chefs. We're gonna have guest chefs probably once a week, doing kind of like a one-off, like amazing sort of dish that they do. It's sort of like the Union Pool taco truck, but with like good cuisine, you know?
Got it. All right, well, you're listening to Snacky Tunes. We're your host, Finger on the Pulse. Wow.
Whoa.
Yeah, right up in the studio, live, Treasure Fingers.
me, you don't need to witness. When we done, say I'm finished. Stop banging on my doors. Sitting around the curb, overtracing every word. Placing little cracks so the panty been disturbed. Honey in the big shot, just to see the curvy yeah. Sticking out the parking lot, reaching to the bridge spot. You say he love me, but he feeling insecure. Setting up that for the lady he adore. Checking every move from the linen to the floor. Knowing on myself, but I choose to ignore. I love you.
All right.
Woo! Good stuff.
Disco Monday. Heyo.
You want to let us know what that was when you have a second?
Charge your fingers on Snacky Tunes. People.
Charge your fingers on Snacky Tunes. We should announce that. Little like a refresher.
Yeah, the last track is something untitled that I'm working on. It's really, really, really rough.
Okay.
Wanted to play it.
Yeah.
Before that was this guy Mad Delish, which kind of goes with food a little bit.
I like that. That is good. That's a good, someone said that's a good pairing.
Yeah.
Cocktail guy does not like that joke.
Before that was Night Riders from Boston, some new track they did. Can't remember the name.
They're fantastic.
Yeah, can't really remember what else I played. I started off with the Shelly remix that is currently in the works.
It was good.
It's almost there.
It's a nice little preview of what you're going to hear, but like much louder and probably with a lot more. You can't see it, but I'm like raising my hands up in
he's gesticulating all over the place.
Big shout out to Joel. Yep. Free Magic, he is listening. He and VDRK, who've both been guests on here, are setting up the Discovery Party, which is going to be awesome.
And do we know amazing. The RSVP? It's free.
It's free.
Before
midnight, but you have to go to the website, which I'm going to look up. Oh, no, I can't look up because my computer's broken.
Okay, but anyway, so we're really excited. I think we go on at 12:30 and you go on at 1:30.
Sounds right.
Something like that, and it's awesome. If you haven't been to Discovery, it really is like the best new disco party in New York.
And if you don't want to play it too cool, you can show up at 11:59 and still get in for free.
Right.
Yeah.
Take that money that you put on the cover, put it towards beer.
Yeah, don't show up at 12:05 and complain about paying for a cover. You could have just gotten there early. What are you doing, singing at home?
Hey, no. Call of Duty.
Call of Duty. And no one wants to watch Saturday Night Live in real time anymore.
Yeah.
You got to fast forward through those commercials.
Zach Galifianakis, this was pretty good. Not going to lie.
Anything else, what are you going to do after you do Discovery? You're always going back on the road.
Yeah, well, it's South by Southwest and Winter Music Conference time, so.
Oh, are you ready? I don't know if we'll be able to take our trip out to the Salt Lake like we did last year.
Oh, we got to.
Yeah, we got it. We'll figure it out.
Rent bikes or something.
Yeah. That's a long bike ride, my man. That's a long bike ride on like a pound of brisket in my stomach.
Yeah, afterwards would be unbearable.
How did we get it? Who drove?
Someone drove.
Wasn't us.
We had a car.
We'll find a car.
Yeah, we'll find a car.
And so where are you playing at South By and where are you playing at WMC?
South By, there's the AM Only Showcase, mm-hmm. which is like the official, that's going to be at Beauty Bar, I think, in the back. And I think I'm playing Saturday night around 1, I'm guessing. Winter Music Conference, there's tons of parties. The Fool's Gold one will probably be the one to hit, I think. It's Friday night. I'm also playing an Om Records party, which is going to be more house music based. Should be fun. And some pool parties and whatever.
Sweet. We'll see you down there.
Yeah.
We'll see you down there. I've never been to WMC, so I'm excited.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy.
There's
about 200% more fist pumping than Austin has.
Yes.
So just prepare for that.
I'm a fist pump professional. It's on my business card. So
okay. Another thing you never want to say about a guy.
Yeah.
And with that, we end Snacky Tunes today. I am Terry Diabolik.
I'm DJ Never Forget. Thank you to Frankie Cocktails.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks to Treasure Fingers, who's going to take us out with one more song.
Big shout out to Whole Foods, Roberta's, for sponsoring us.
Check in the Rec Tech. And hopefully we'll see you guys all out at Discovery this week. Also, if you're looking for a little bit of a live music show, Yacht is back this week with their brand new live band. So it's
The So Gays?
Yeah. It's on Thursday, I believe at Bowery. If it's not sold out, it probably will be. So try and check it out.
And also this Thursday, Sumi Mobile Disco with Fixed.
That's right. It's a big week.
Anyway, so Snacky Tunes, Treasure Fingers. We'll see you next time.